listening to WCNO, Palm City.
These are teachers who are among us. They claim to be teachers and speakers of God's word. They may appear righteous but by their actions and words, but we're to judge them by their lifestyle and the effects of their ministry on the kingdom of God, okay?
Now, hold on a second. But to what degree, this is where I have a little umbrage here. Remember James and John were the sons of Zebedee. And they come along one morning and they say, hey, Yeshua, Jesus, they've been traveling with him now for a year or two. And these guys are over here. They're preaching, but they're not preaching exactly like you. should we call down the fire from heaven to consume them? And Jesus says, the Son of Man hath not come to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. But henceforth, after that, he calls them the sons of thunder. The next day they show up. Hey, sons of thunder, how you doing? Did you consume anybody with fire today? Ha ha. It shows you that he has a sense of humor. So I think we have to be careful because there you go. I remember from Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who I had the pleasure of meeting, he said the river of the mind can only flow in one direction at a time, positive or negative. And so people get into a bent where they're picking on all these people. You know what? They're God. You're God's servant. Except now, if you ask me, then I might tell you what I think of your book. But you're God's servant. All I have to do is watch out for people and watch and be aware of their fruit. But, you know, somebody else might be on TV or they might be on radio. I see things that people do and I take great offense. And, you know, they want a $50 million jet. And I go, what? Why do you need a 50? But you know what? He's not my servant. And well, so for okay. The meantime, I want to just stay back and just go, OK, I'm not going to send that guy a check. Well, if you want to, that's your business.
Well, this is what Jesus is challenging us to be discerning as we hear people who proclaim themselves to be God's prophets and God's teachers. And one of the experiences that Laura and I had is we came back from Honduras and we'd been there for 5 or 6 months. We hadn't watched any TV. We've been kind of out of contact. We only have our shortwave radio. We're listening to Voice of America and BBC, and we come back to Vero Beach, and we're watching TV one night, and we turn on the TV, and we're suddenly there's a guy that's sitting at a desk, and he's reading letters, and he picks up a letter, and he said, "Brother Bob, would you please pray for my Pinto? It's breaking down, and I just need some prayer." And Brother Bob throws the Pinto, throws the letter down on the desk, and he says, "I will not pray for your Pinto. I don't have used car faith. I have new car faith. And if you send me your $1,000 vow, I will pray for you and that God will give you a new car." Okay. Now, we started laughing because we thought we had tuned into Saturday Night Live. But then Bob picked up another letter and read a very similar and said some things. Suddenly, we realized this guy's for real. Mm. Now, Rhett, just pause for a moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. I told this story to a dear, dear friend of mine, a ministry partner of mine, years later, and I told him it was ridiculous, this idea of sending Brother Bob a $1,000 vow and expecting that God was going to do a miracle in your life, okay? And as I told him that, he looked at me with this sheepish sort of look, and he said, "I sent Brother Bob a $1,000 vow." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "I really wanted to be a professional racer, a driver. I was driving go-karts at the time. I had become a Christian. I tuned into Brother Bob's show. I sent him a $1,000 vow, and within a couple weeks, I got hired at Bondurant Driving School." And this friend of mine went on to be the winningest driver in sports car history, winning one of every four races he entered at one point in his career. He won the Rolex 24-hour race four times, and now he's the president of Motorsports Ministry, doing chapels at these racing events around the country. But I had to sit back, and I go, golly, with faith— my friend Terry sent in that $1,000 vow, and God really opened the door. So, you know, I had to repent of my judgment. But the reality is this. We are to discern the messages of the prophets and teachers, and then we're to look at their lifestyle, and we're actually to look at the people around them and see if there is fruit in their ministry or not. Now, Peter gives us an admonition here. He says, false prophets will arise among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. They will secretly induce destructive heresies. They even deny the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction among themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Okay. Do you know, Rhett, right now, there's churches in our community that have really moved away from the authority of the Word of God. And you're aware of this. It's been happening over the last 20 years. We have denominations now that have moved away from the biblical teaching on sexuality to where there is confusion about how a man and woman of God should behave and what sexuality actually is. We say the Old Testament is old and out of date. In fact, I heard a lady pastor that was wearing a rainbow vestment, and she said, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13 says that the Old Testament is old and out of date, and my Jesus says that we don't have to pay any attention to those Old Testament commandments. But she has forgotten that Paul told his disciple Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable to teach us, to correct us, to reprove us, to train us in righteousness, so the man of God might be adequate and equipped for every good work. Now, when Paul wrote that to his disciple Timothy, what Scripture was he referring to? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable to teach us, correct us, train us in righteousness. Well, the Christian Scriptures were being written. They didn't exist. He's referring to the Hebrew Scriptures. And so the Hebrew Scriptures give us a lot of insight on God's feelings regarding sexuality, on relationships. And it's very obvious from the beginning that God's plan for humanity was a family unit consisted of a husband that loves and cares for and sacrificially gives to his wife, that a wife who honors and respects her husband, that they have children that honor and respect their father, and the father and mother care for and train up and don't exasperate their children. This is the family unit that God created for humanity.
Absolutely.
And so there's all these admonitions of anything that would infringe on or destroy the family unit. But at the same time,
when you go fishing and you catch a fish, you don't clean the fish and then catch it. You catch it and then clean it. So my answer to this is anybody's welcome to the church.
Everybody is welcome. When you and I came into the kingdom, we were probably doing exactly what we wanted to do. Okay?
Yep.
There was no boundaries.
Right. Yeah. You were living with a woman. I was living with a woman. But the point is, if somebody said, well, you can't come to church until you change that, you know. So the point is, what I say is, I will not call sin not sin. So I do believe homosexuality is a sin. But come to the church. I'm not called to judge you. I'm just called to love people and tell them about Jesus. In due time, if God wants to, he can reveal that truth. We don't need to jump all over people.
Oh, right. No. I'm reading a book right now called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, okay? And it's written by a lady who is a hardcore lesbian. She became friends with a pastor in her neighborhood. She started going over to his house to sing on Sunday nights, and through the process of getting to know this family, she heard the gospel, she heard biblical teaching, and she suddenly recognized that God's design for humanity was a man and woman together in a committed marriage relationship, and that sex was to be the ultimate expression of intimacy as well as procreation. And that this was God's design, and anything outside of that was not his design. And so I know many gay guys. I have friends, many. I know lesbians. I've worked with them. Good people.
Yeah, we love people.
We have invited them into our homes. We have invited them into our workplace. We've even hired them to work with us. And in the process of that, they have come to know who God is, and they've understood God and his ways, and some have actually made decisions to start walking with him. But this is an individual thing, Red, and you're absolutely right. There is no way that someone is going to experience the presence of God unless we invite them into that presence. So everybody is welcome. Look who Jesus hung out with when he was on this earth. He hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes. And in the Roman Empire during that time, there was lots of gender fluidity. There was a lot of outside of marriage relationships. And yet Jesus came and invited them to the table. And it was
well, you know, there's a guy who has a church in Vero Beach. I will name it nameless. And he's really been people talk about him saying, oh, he goes into the bar. Well, he does. He goes into bars and drinks beer. But he's actually had some conversions. He goes in there and has fellowship with people. Well, if that's what he's called to, they said Jesus was a wine bibber because he's hanging out with these guys that are drinking wine. Hey, don't judge another person's ministry. Well, love people.
Yeah, here's the thing, Red. I mean, what was Jesus' first miracle?
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. I mean, I used that, though, to overdrink when I was younger.
No, but he turned water into wine, and it was very good wine. And, of course, it had alcohol. It was an alcoholic wine. It wasn't grape juice.
And yeah, but they had to have that in that day, right, to purify the water.
Well, and they used it to purify the water. I mean, grape juice really wasn't invented as a common thing until the fundamentalist movement of the 1880s, 1890s.
Really?
So, Jesus drank, biblically and culturally, he drank wine that had an alcoholic content. But the Bible says, don't get drunk with wine. And so there's admonitions of don't overindulge, and drunkenness is really something that's not a good thing, as you and I both know, experientially. Okay?
Yes.
So this understanding of we shouldn't be going into a bar, some of the restaurants that my wife and I enjoy.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
At Yeshua the Good Shepherd Child Care, every child is a precious gift from God. Our faith-based home daycare program nurtures biblically in a loving, safe environment. Located in Port St. Lucie, 772-309-2418.
Fill up